Time now for the Danny Mac Show with BK, getting you inside the Cards and St. Louis sports on 101 ESPN.
Benner was, I thought Benner was fine. He made through practice. Obviously, I think he still needs a little bit more time, but I have not talked to him since practice was over, so I'll do that. But, I mean, he's out there and he worked hard. I thought he looked okay.
Blues and Stars coming up tonight. Charlie Lindgren would be my guest that would get the start tonight. Don't know that officially. We're going to ask Jeremy Rutherford about that from The Athletic. He'll be our guest. Also, Josh Bogorad is the play-by-play voice of the Dallas Stars. Those two are coming up as we get you set for what could be, I think, a really entertaining game tonight. When you look at where the Stars were a couple of nights ago, called out by their head coach, frustration with the 4-1 loss at home, and now taking on the same team in the St. Louis Blues tonight at Enterprise Center, pregame at 6 here on 101 ESPN. And the way the first 5 to 10 minutes went the other night, I just got a feeling like this is going to be one of those old-time hockey games, man. They're going to come out flying, and historical, the Blues will be ready.
Historical penalty numbers? Because I'd be
down
for
that. I just think physical.
Oh, I'm with you.
And it's a Friday night.
I'm going first 5-10 minutes.
I'd say within the first 5 minutes.
And if I'm going to put money on the guy dropping the gloves, no Shen. Shen's usually the guy.
I thought you were going to say something else. No.
No. I'm going to go with Joshua.
That's my guy. That's who I go with. Yeah, Joshua would have been my guess. You going with Charlie tonight between the pipes?
I think I would. Just give Benner some more time off, and he's playing well, so why not give him another start, get to 5-0, and then we'll get over to Bennington again.
I'm with you there. You got a day game on Sunday, Blues and Jets. Jets this morning fired their head coach, so they'll be amped up for that game. Bennington goes back, a little Canadian swing before the holidays, or before Christmas. The holiday season is here, and that's what makes going to Enterprise Center fun, too. The atmosphere tonight, Friday night, you don't have many Friday night games, a lot of Saturday night games. You got a Friday night game, Enterprise Center, place will be electric. Blues are playing well. They're one of the best teams in the league. It's going to be fun.
It's going to be a fun atmosphere at Enterprise. Got the young guys still here, too, providing that little spark. Like we just said, we're going to see a fight in the first 5 to 10 minutes.
Yeah. We've already panned this whole thing out. So who's your first goal then tonight?
Oh.
I'll go Blues.
I'll go Blues, too. Let's see, who's due? Vladdy's been playing well. I'll go Vladdy.
How about Vladdy? I'm going to go, because of the fights and the various things and the physical play, the Blues go on the power play, and I'm going to go Krug.
I like it.
Haven't seen him light the lamp in a while.
Speaking of defensemen, do you think we'll see Perunovic on the ice tonight, or do you think he'll take a night in the press box?
No, I think that I know they do that with the young players, and I know you do that in sports. I don't do that with him. Although he may need a reset. I mean, that's
with you.
You know, that's what happens. But I don't feel that way with him. I feel differently about him. Not sure why. Maybe it's because of his resume, the kind of player that he's been, what he's done in the minors. I thought he's looked really good at times. I don't want to put it in his mind like, okay, now I've had to sit, and then the next time out, every time it's on my stick, I'm worried about, you know, making it. Just go play. You're going to have mistakes. Just go play. That's kind of the way I would approach it with him. Other players, I don't feel that way. Sometimes you got to have a reset.
I'm with you. I think I would have Perunovic in the lineup tonight. I find that decision almost more fascinating than the goaltending one, because Perunovic, you've got, of course, the young guy. Like you mentioned, he's played pretty well when he's been up here, but he comes off his last game where he had the turnover, because remember, he missed last game due to illness, non-COVID. His last game, he had the turnover that led to the loss in overtime. And, of course, we don't want to make it look like, you know, that one turnover is the reason you go sit in the press box. The Blues do like to do that with young guys, as you mentioned. And the other thing that's made this more interesting is about a week ago, I would have said, yeah, when the Blues defensemen are healthy, yeah, I'm putting Scandella in the press box. But Scandella's played pretty well of late, too. So I think it's interesting. I wonder if maybe they'll go with 7 defensemen tonight. Bruby has done that in the past.
I wonder if they'll do that. Yep.
That way they can play Scandella and Perunovic. But I'm with you. I think I would keep him in the lineup. Maybe I would actually go 7 defensemen, because I don't know if I want to pull Scandella right now the way he's been playing.
Have you looked at the schedule for the Dallas Stars? This also is an important stretch of games for them. Right now, they've lost, by the way, 4 in a row. They're not very good on the road. They're 4-8-1 on the road. 10 consecutive games against division opponents starting tonight or starting the other night. And then they got 5 games in 7 nights coming up. That's a rough stretch of hockey, man.
And an important stretch, too.
Yes.
I mean, don't downplay these 2 points up for grabs tonight. You beat the Stars.
Yes.
They're 11 points behind, I believe, just you. And you're in 3rd in the Central, if I'm not mistaken.
So it's an important stretch. So Jordan Binnington, that is kind of one of the questions right now this morning as we get set for a big night of hockey here in St. Louis. He was on the ice yesterday. How did it go?
I'd say it went pretty well. It was fun to be back out there with the guys for sure and just having that pace. But I feel good and I'm excited to be back.
Now, if the Blues are playing poorly, I'd say get them back in there. And in particular, if your goaltending was poor, I'd say, I'd love to give you a day or two more, but we got to get you back in there. But the thing is, though, Tanner, is that Husso, 7 games played, 2.46 goals against average. Lindgren, 4 games, 4-0, 1.29. So you don't feel that sense of, like, having to rush him. And I don't think I would. I'd still give him, you know, you're going to practice today. I give him another practice tomorrow. And then say, hey, Sunday, be ready to go.
I'm with you, and I think it's almost more beneficiary to kind of give him more days off, not just including today because he's returning, but moving forward with the way your depth has played at goaltending, because it's kind of, I know you brought up the idea earlier in the week about, you know, we've seen guys coming off of COVID and they have this they're shot out of a cannon. Would you consider workload management for guys in the future? I think the Blues, with their goaltending, I'm not saying Binnington's only going to start like twice a week. I'm saying you can cut back his workload a little bit, the way Husso and Lindgren have played. And I think it benefits the Blues because you'll have a more fresher Binnington as we get into the playoffs. Now, if it gets down to the stretch and you really need to work him because you're fighting for the playoffs, and of course you do that. But if you can manage better workload with Jordan Binnington compared to what I thought heading into the year, where I thought he was going to have to get a big chunk of starts because I wasn't sure what Husso would be, and Husso's proven to be a legitimate number two goalie, I think that benefits the Blues. You have a much better Jordan Binnington. He's going to be maybe a little bit healthier, a little bit fresher heading into the playoffs, and we've seen what happens if Binnington's feeling it going into the playoffs. He can carry you to a cup run.
Management, though, of the workload and the minutes, yeah, I'm with you. It's I think something, it's opened up their eyes, at least it has for me, and it's been entertaining. It's been a lot of fun to watch these young kids play like they're,
absolutely,
you know, they're playing in Game 7 of the NHL Stanley Cup Final. And the other thing is they're playing for their NHL lives. So you're getting a lot of jump out of these kids. And that's, to me, been a lot of fun. Okay, so Josh Bogorad is going to be our guest. He is the voice of the Dallas Stars. And then later in the show, we'll get an update on what's happening with the Blues from Jeremy Rutherford of The Athletic, as we're talking a lot of hockey on this edition of the Danny Mac Show, 101 ESPN.
Back to more of the Danny Mac Show with BK on 101 ESPN.
Can we get a little old-time hockey tonight? Maybe. Stars, head coach calls them out. They lose at on home ice the other night to the Blues, and now they get the Blues tonight, which should be a festive atmosphere at Enterprise Center. Josh Bogorad has been kind enough to join us, and he is the play-by-play voice of the Dallas Stars. Love his work. Hey, Josh, thanks for hopping on for a few minutes. I know you probably got a morning skate you got to get to today, so thanks for doing this. Happy holidays to you, and it should be a really fun night of hockey at Enterprise Center.
Yeah, thanks for having me, and happy holidays right back. I imagine it will be. It seems to be when Dallas and St. Louis get together, and then you mix it in on the tail end of a home-and-home set, especially, as you mentioned, with the way that ended from a Stars perspective and the run St. Louis has been on overall, and especially on home ice. So, yeah, I think we could be in for a fun night of hockey here tonight.
What did you take away from the comments made after the game, and then how that maybe plays into what happens with maybe the first 5 or 10 minutes from the Stars' perspective going into the game tonight?
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I think that, you know, from an outside perspective, you hear comments like that, and it's jarring, and it was in the moment, but it's also been part of a little bit of an up and down run here that the Stars have been on. They didn't get off to the start that they wanted. Then they ripped off 7 wins in a row against impressive competition and looked pretty dominating in the process. And since then, they've now dropped four straight games in regulation and kind of have fallen back to a place that they don't want to be in. So I think what you heard was some frustration. There have been 2 days since then, and it was kind of walked back by the coaching staff and some of the players. But I think more than anything, what you wanted then, if you were the Stars, and what you want tonight is just a jolt. And whether it comes through a post-game presser or a team meeting or something that gets said amongst the guys or between the coaches and the players before the game, or just the adrenaline rush of running out and getting ready for opening faceoff against a team that's just got the better of you and snapped a pretty lengthy home winning streak. The first 5 or 10 minutes could prove to be pretty interesting, but I think that what you're talking about is probably only one small element of all of that. I just think that this is a Stars team that for whatever reason has needed a couple of jolts, and when they've gotten them and when they've responded to them, it's worked out. They had that players only team meeting, and that led to a 9-1 run earlier this year. So whatever is going to get that jolt is the button that they're going to look to push. And whether it comes internally or externally, that's what they're hoping they get here tonight.
I was looking at the schedule too. 5 games in 7 nights, 10 consecutive against division opponents. So this was and is a really crucial part of the schedule right now for the Dallas Stars.
Yeah, 100%. And you nailed it. And I remember that there was that start and that players only meeting, and they got off to this under 500 beginning through the first 11 games, and 8 of the first 11 were on the road, and they would have wanted to have done better, but they came home and they had a segment where 9 of the next 11 were going to be on home ice. And I remember hearing the team talk about it and sort of forecasting what that segment of the schedule is going to look like. And when it looked like the season could start to slip away, if you didn't capitalize on it, the Stars answered that challenge. And then that was part of that 9-1 run and part of that home winning streak, part of that overall winning streak. And now they've lost 4 straight games, and they are right into the segments that you just laid out. And it feels like they're kind of at that crossroads again. Nobody, short of last year when the pandemic messed everything up, nobody plays 10 straight games against division rivals in the course of the season.
Right.
It just doesn't happen. It literally has never happened for the Stars franchise, and it hasn't happened for any team in well over a decade. So this is a segment that you just can't afford to not be at your best. And it's weird times. There is a non-COVID sickness that was going through the locker room that cost a few guys some playing time, and maybe even if they were playing, they weren't at their best. But everybody understands, you look around the league at what's happening with COVID, with injuries, and what's happening to basically every roster. You look at the team that they're going to play tonight in St. Louis and what the Blues have had to deal with, which is just incredible. You live in a world right now where there can be reasons and there can be explanations, but there can't be excuses. So this is a segment that, regardless of what gets thrown at them in terms of personnel, in terms of workload, they have to find a way to do it. And the last time they were up against it and their backs were against the wall and it was that pivotal moment, they capitalized. Here's another one. They didn't get off on the foot they wanted to the other night in Dallas. They got an opportunity to make amends here, and then they'll see Chicago tomorrow, and they can't let this start to snowball the other way. Otherwise, it could be tough to catch.
Josh Bogorod is our guest, and he is the play-by-play voice of the Stars. How have the Stars dealt with COVID in terms? Have they been hit hard? Have they not? Where are they at with that? I haven't paid close attention to that because we've had so much going on here with the Blues.
No, it's a fair question. I mean, with what's happening in St. Louis and what's happening around the league and
sure,
then what's happening out of sports, it's tough to keep track of what team has had what. I think the Stars were hit as hard as anybody by COVID last year. I don't know if you recall, but
They
got shut down in training camp. They had a delayed start to the season. It was one of several delays that they had to deal with. So they were kind of the guinea pig to what it was like when COVID just went rampant through a locker room. This year, it hasn't affected them. They haven't had any lost time due to COVID. They've had their share of absences from other ailments, but for the time being, COVID has not been an issue. And I know that sadly, that's not necessarily something that's commonplace to be able to say these days.
Yeah, it's been amazing. From an outsider's perspective, and a couple more questions, I know we got to let you go. What's it like watching the Blues with some of the new names, faces, goalies that they've had to use? But from your perspective, just watching the Blues, what's your take on what you see out of St. Louis?
Well, the other night was extremely impressive. The Stars have seen him two times. So they got him back in November, and that was when Dallas was in the middle of that run I referenced. And the Stars played a really good game. They won that game 4-1. They got good goaltending. Their special teams were incredible. They had two shorthanded goals that night. And that was a game that the Stars feel is much more indicative of their play. And then that was a different looking Blues roster than the one we saw a couple nights ago in Dallas with all the kids up from Springfield and all the notable guys who were out. And we were looking at that roster kind of wondering, all right, the record is there, but what's the eyeball test going to show you? What are they going to look like? And when the puck dropped, it was extremely impressive how the Blues went about their business. They were hitting, they were skating. This was a team that came ready to play, exactly what you would want in a division rival of two teams who have been going in basically for the last month. They've been going in a good direction, and they were about to play two consecutive games. They never let the lack of personnel. It didn't matter if it was in the goaltending position where it was Lindgren who was terrific, or if it was up front where you're without guys like Kyrou and Perron and Thomas. It didn't seem to slow them down at any point in time. And it was a really impressive performance. I think to see them twice and have that turnaround, that's what sticks out to me. Is it just strikes me as a team that in a world full of curveballs, when one gets hurled your way, they're going to persevere right through it. It looks like that's what they've done all season long, certainly what they're doing right now. And now it's kind of a mirrored objective of what the Stars will look to do here tonight. The Blues want a repeat performance of Tuesday. Dallas clearly does not. And it'll be interesting to see what the two teams showcase in a rematch.
And I'll wrap it up with this, Josh. You had a St. Louis kid between the pipes and was terrific for many years in the NHL and Ben Bishop. And unfortunately, the knee condition forced him to retire. I know Ben a little bit. He's a great guy. I'm sure you feel the same way. What are your thoughts about seeing Ben have to retire and be forced out because of injury?
The thoughts are twofold, and I really do try to separate them. One, it's a sad, unfortunate ending. Anytime any athlete, especially one that's as elite as Ben, doesn't get to go out on their own terms. I know Father Time gets the better of everyone, but it comes on a little bit quicker than others. And he had a lot of good hockey left. He was playing maybe his best hockey of what's been an outstanding career right up until his final games. He was in the Vezina conversation his last two full seasons that didn't stop due to injury. You're talking about amongst the leaders in GAA and save percentage, setting Stars franchise records. What he has done all time, we were looking at the numbers and to try and put into perspective, I don't think people maybe outside of St. Louis or those cities where he's called home realize just how good he's been.
Yes.
All time. He's fourth in save percentage of any goaltender that's played at least 200 games. That's all time. I mean, you're talking about an incredible fraternity that he's a part of. He's 15th in goals against average in that same classification. So, I mean, I could go on and on with the numbers that he posted. I know that the year St. Louis had the cup run, it was that memorable Game 7 where Bishop almost won it single-handedly in that second round series. And for him to do that in his hometown, even in defeat, was a career highlight for anyone. So I think it's sad the way it went out. And then I also think it's really nice that we're having conversations like this and I'm reading articles and seeing things, and it's a celebration of an incredible career. And if there's one saving grace to all this, it's the last year and a half, what Bishop has gone through to try and get back out on the ice. You're not going to be talking to a guy in 20 years who says, well, if I would have tried this, maybe I could have gotten a few more miles. If I would have done this, he did everything he could in over a year of hard rehabilitation and surgeries, and then even a trip down to the minors in the American Hockey League to test it out, just to see he gets to at least go out with peace of mind, knowing that he left everything out there, whether it was in his career or in that comeback attempt. And I think that's going to help him going forward. And I just think from his post game or his post, his press conference post career, I guess you would call it. He's going to be in the game in some capacity. You mentioned he's such a likable guy. He's such a well-spoken guy. He's such a respected guy amongst everybody in the media or fellow players, teammates, opponents. He's going to carve out a very good post-playing career in this game, and he's not going to be far from it. We're all going to be lucky for that. He's a tremendous person, a tremendous goaltender, and I can't wait to see what the rest of his life and his career showcase.
Yeah, that's so well put. Hey, Josh, thanks for hopping on for a few minutes. Really appreciate your time, and, well, good luck tonight against the St. Louis Blues.
Thanks. It's my pleasure. Take care, guys.
You too. That's Josh Bogorod, and he's the play-by-play voice of the Stars. Really good stuff there. So we're going to take a quick time out. When we come back, we'll get an update on what's happening with the Blues, who could be in goal tonight for St. Louis. Lindgren, are you talking about Bennington? Also, injury updates. We're going to do that with Jeremy Rutherford of The Athletic. It is 10:29 on a Friday here in St. Louis on 101 ESPN.
Can't get enough Cards talk? You've come to the right place. Back to more of the Danny Mac Show with BK on 101 ESPN.
Danny Mac Show minus BK. He'll be back at some point next week from his wedding and vacation. So hopefully he's enjoying himself on the beaches in the Dominican Republic. But we have hockey coming up tonight. The Dallas Stars are in town, and Jeremy Rutherford has been kind enough to join us. And you heard Jeremy with Chris Kerber yesterday for 3 hours of hockey talk here on 101 ESPN. Hey, JR, good morning to you, and thanks for coming on.
Good morning, Danny. Anytime, buddy.
Well, let's start with what I think is a really important question, which is who starts in goal? Where do you go with this goaltending situation right now for the Blues?
Yeah, that's a good question. Based on practice yesterday, Craig Berube saying that it looks like Jordan Binnington, who has been removed from the protocol list, he is back practicing with the team, probably needs a couple more on-ice session. So it looks like Charlie Lindgren, who's been terrific, 4-0, of course, just three of those games were complete games. He subbed for Villahuso late in the third period, and one of those, he's just been dynamite. And so I know there's a faction of fans that are saying, ride the hot hand, keep Charlie Lindgren in there, you know, just let Binnington take his time. I think you got to go back to your number one goalie at some point, but it looks like with Binnington just kind of working his way back from COVID, he had mild symptoms. It looks like they're going to go with Charlie Lindgren tonight against Dallas.
All right, we're in talk radio, so let's have a little fun. What if he wins tonight, and what if he plays well? What do you do then?
Well, you know, I understand the hot hand thing. I get it. But Jordan Binnington is your guy. He's going to be the guy who, if you make a run this year, you get into the playoffs, he's going to be your guy. And so, you know, we've seen this over a number of years. Guys come up and play well, and you know, fans get behind them and push for them to start. You know, eventually it fades out. The one thing I have to say is I remember telling fans a few years ago when they said, ride this guy, Jordan Binnington. I said, come on, we've seen this before. And then he takes him to a Stanley Cup. So Danny, can Charlie Lindgren do that? You know, I don't know. So to me, when Jordan Bennington's healthy and he gives you the thumbs up, you go with him. But, you know, let's see what Charlie Lindgren does against Dallas here.
How close are some of these guys to returning to the ice, whether they are injured, whether it's COVID, whatever the situation may be, but how close are some of these players to returning to everyday action for the Blues?
Yeah, so you got a few guys out. Scott Perunovich missed the game the other night with an illness. He was back on the ice yesterday practicing. He could be in the lineup, not too sure yet. You have James Neal. He has an injury, and he's on the LTIR. He re-aggravated it in practice, I believe, yesterday. And so it looks like he's going to be out. Clem Costin, he could be back at some point soon. But, you know, a big name, David Perron. David Perron's been out with what we believe is a concussion, and he's on LTIR. So he's got to miss a couple more games. A really good chance that he'll be back as soon as he's eligible to come off the LTIR, which would be early next week. against Ottawa. So, you know, things have been looking up for this team, and now they're going to get a few of these guys back. Still no update on Shen and Kyrou, though, two big names there. Didn't practice yesterday, so I don't anticipate them against Dallas tonight, but we'll see at the rink today.
You know, JR, one of the guys that we're not going to see at the rink tonight is Ben Bishop, who was selected by the Blues, had a long NHL career, and finished up as a member of the Dallas Stars. You told a great story the other day about Larry Plow seeing him basically in an alumni game and then said, hey, we need to follow this kid. Where would you put Ben Bishop with all these great players that are coming out, and a lot of them second-generation players of former Blues that grew up here in St. Louis and had the coaching of former Blues players. But where would you put Ben Bishop in terms of some of the great hockey players that have come out of St. Louis?
Yeah, way up on the list. And you're right. Like, we've talked a lot about Ben Bishop over the years, but he probably doesn't get the credit that he
no
deserves.
Doubt. You know, no doubt.
Yeah, we're often focusing on the skaters, you know, the Matthew Tkachuks and Brady Tkachuks that have come out of St. Louis. You've had some others, but Ben, being a goaltender, he had a hard job. And you're right, Larry Plow mentioned he saw him in that quote-unquote alumni game where he stopped a couple NHL-type guys, and I think he put himself on the radar right there and then, and the Blues draft him, and, you know, they kind of had the logjam at goalie with him and Jake Allen, and people forget, you know, Jake Allen won the American Hockey League Goaltender of the Year award that year, and so Ben Bishop was set to become a free agent. They make the trade with Ottawa, and he gets moved on to Tampa Bay, where he was really good. And he was a mentor to Andrei Vasilevskiy there, who's gone on to win, you know, some awards down there with Tampa with the Vezina. And Andrei Vasilevskiy will tell you, Ben Bishop really steered the way for me. And so then he goes on to Dallas and makes a name for himself there too. So Ben Bishop, to me, one of the great all-time American goaltenders, and he's made St. Louis extremely proud. It's unfortunate that he's going to go out this way. And Danny, I got to tell you what, you know, these situations where guys retire and they get, you know, 1,000 text messages, you know, Ben replies to them all. I send him a quick text, hey, joy to cover you. You're always there, you know, for an interview, so on and so forth. And, you know, a text right back saying, hey, thanks for covering everything. So just a great guy, and I wish him nothing but the best.
No doubt. The Blues beat up on Dallas the other night. They, you know, handle the initial onslaught of the physical play. Then their head coach comes out and, you know, calls out a lot of the players of the Dallas Stars. So I am curious, what do you think the first 5 to 10 minutes could be like tonight at Enterprise Center?
Yeah, pretty feisty, I'm sure. And there were times in the game the other night that it got that way. Here's the thing. I think the Blues, with this lineup that includes 6 guys from Springfield, a lot of them, you know, making their, you know, you had Toropchenko the other night making his NHL debut, but a lot of the other guys, you know, they're trying to make a name for themselves. And I think the Blues are playing a real physical brand of hockey with a lot of these guys up on the roster right now, you know, trying to do the best they can and impress the coaches. And so, you know, I think we're seeing a little more of that, Dan, than we do normally with this Blues team. And it's good. It's fun to watch. And, you know, it can be a successful brand of hockey. So, yeah, Craig Berube for sure is going to be in the ears of his Blues players, telling him what to expect against Dallas tonight after what happened the other night, and especially, you know, with the postgame stuff. So I anticipate another good game.
I'm really curious your thoughts on this. Craig Berube is a free agent to be, if you want to put it that way. Where's he at right now with the COVID issues, the injury issues, and yet to be in the position that they're in their division and their conference? He's got them to play very good hockey. So where are the Blues right now in trying to extend, if they want to, right now the head coach of the Blues, and that's Craig Berube?
Yeah, I got to believe that that's going to be something that gets done, whether it gets done in a week or a couple months or they wait to the offseason. You know, tough to tell, honestly, at this point. But Craig Berube and his staff, Steve Ott, Mike Van Ryan, Dave Alexander, they've done a tremendous job. And look, you look across the NHL and pro sports included, all these staffs are having to deal with so much with the COVID issues. And I just think that Craig Berube and the organization have done an outstanding job, and, you know, just trying to navigate all this. You know, they went through it last year. Yeah, but this is different. I mean, this year you're dealing with cap issues. You're dealing with playing shorthanded, you know, 17, 18, 19 skaters. This is stuff that they didn't go through when they were involved with COVID in the bubble previous year. So to me, he's done a phenomenal job to have this team second place in the Central Division, 8th overall in the standings. It's been great. I think in the ownership's eyes, and also Doug Armstrong's eyes. Craig Berube is the coach of this team. I suspect that they will get something done. I just don't know when that's going to be.
Who has impressed you the most of the guys that have been called up through COVID, the injuries? And we didn't expect to see a lot of these guys, but I am curious who's impressed you.
Yeah, a couple guys. I'm a real big Dakota Joshua fan. Like, I realize that maybe
I am too.
I'm glad to hear you say that.
Yep.
Yeah, this is probably his ceiling. I mean, it's not like he's going to become a top six player at some point, but he's a guy who plays physical and he plays the game the right way. Another one, Nathan Walker, you know, he comes up and, of course, he has a hat trick. You don't expect something like that, but then he has another goal. So four goals in just a few games. Nice assist the other night, too. So with him, though, I don't know that they keep him when they get everybody back healthy. Unfortunately, some guys have that label on them. That they come up and give you a boost and, you know, you send them back to the minor leagues. But I think he's been really good. The other guy that really sticks out, Logan Brown, and I think he's a guy who's made enough of a name for himself in this run with the Blues here that maybe they do hang on to him. You know, maybe you send a guy like a Clem Costin or someone down to make room for a Logan Brown and keep him in this lineup, because I think you can play him in a fourth line role. I think, as we've seen here lately, playing top line minutes with Saad and O'Reilly. So we'll see what happens.
All right. Here my crazy theory that I've been coming to the conclusion of, which is I'm watching some of these COVID guys go out with mild symptoms and they get like a 10-day break. So it's, let's say, Justin Falk the other night, who was like shot out of a cannon. I thought he played awesome the other night. Then you look at Krug. It didn't look like he missed a beat. Others have. But to the bigger point that I'm about to make, which is the maintenance days of players. Now, as a fan, I don't want to see that, especially in the NHL. We see it in the NBA. Do you think we've learned something through COVID where maybe guys need to take a week break, especially those that are veterans? We see it when they wrap up a playoff series and they take that time off, getting ready for the extended run of a postseason play. But what about in the middle of a season? Am I crazy with this or what?
I don't think you're crazy, and I do see you look at Falk and you look at Krug, and they bounce back pretty quick. Those two guys in particular, I think, had mild to little symptoms. In fact, what Justin Falk said, he was out fishing and taking the dog for a walk during his COVID protocol stay. So, but to answer your question, you know what? I've been around hockey a long time. You too. It's just not the mentality.
Like, I know, but do we need to change it though?
I just don't see how. Like, if you're talking to a Justin Falk and say, "Hey, look, it's an 82 game schedule. Why don't you take the dog and go fishing for a couple of days? We'll see you next Tuesday." Like, there's not a chance. So I don't know how you change the mentality. I understand where you're coming from, and maybe in the end run, it does improve the quality play with a number of these guys, but you know, these guys, from the time they put on skates 2, 3, 4 years old, they've just been there every time the puck drop. And I just don't see, you know, what we're going to do to change that mentality.
Yeah, I happen to agree. I'm just throwing it out there. It's my crazy theory that I'm throwing out there. So, JR, I'm going to wrap it up with a couple more things. What do you expect tonight with the Blues and the Dallas Stars?
Yeah, I think the way the Blues have been playing, I don't see any reason why, you know, they're going to, you know, play a different style or come off of what they're doing. I think you get a number of players who are, like I said earlier, really excited to have this opportunity, and they're going to continue to do what they're doing. Dan, they probably know that their stay is going to end soon because some of these guys are coming back. So I think you're going to continue to get good effort out of them. And I also think that with the veterans, they're really carrying their weight. You look at the way Ryan O'Reilly's played and Vladimir Tarasenko, you know, some of these guys. So it's not just the guys that are coming up from Springfield, even though we're talking a lot about them. I think that it's been a team effort here lately. So, you know, no reason that shouldn't continue. Doesn't mean the Blues are going to beat the Dallas Stars tonight. Doesn't mean you go on a run here like they have been. It just means I think they've got to the point where they know what style they need to play, and they've done a good job really following that plan.
I subscribe to the Athletic, and it's articles like you had the other day with Ivan Barbashev that make me glad that I did that. So the podium is yours, my man. Tell fans what you did the other day with Ivan Barbashev.
Yeah, what we like to do is for subscribers, look, you pay the subscription fee, Dan, to be with The Athletic, and we want you to ask the questions. Look, I ask these players questions every single day, and so what we do is a subscriber Q&A, and we put a link out for subscribers, readers, to ask the Blues player a question. We've done it with Jordan Kyrou Braden Schenn, David Perron, Jordan Bennington. This time we did it with Ivan Barbashev. And so anyway, we got about 60 questions in, you know, less than a few hours. And I took a lot of those to Ivan Barbashev and asked him. And one of them, Dan, was, hey, you and Tarasenko have a birthday right next to each other. One was on Tuesday and the other Wednesday. And did you guys celebrate your birthdays together? And Ivan Barbashev had a quick, funny story, Dan. He said that, no, and I'm done buying him presents because I bought him a gift card for about $400 to a store. And I think he took that gift card and went to the store and bought me something.
So he kind of re-gifted
what he gave him. So anyway, just some good answers. They're having fun with it. And I hope that subscribers feel good that they get an opportunity to jump in and ask these guys questions. Plus, you know, just as well as I do, we get tired of asking the questions, right?
Oh, yeah.
Let's let somebody else do it.
What, you saying you don't, you know, like the questions I ask or what?
No, I always love your questions. But, yeah, when it comes to talking to these Blues players, I'll let the readers do it anytime they want.
You got it. Hey, JR, thanks so much for hopping on this morning. And we'll catch up with you tonight at the rink. And, again, everybody subscribe to The Athletic and listen to JR on 101 ESPN. Thanks, buddy. We'll catch up soon.
Anytime, Danny Mac.
Cramming more St. Louis sports talk into your brain. It's the Danny Mac Show with BK on 101 ESPN.
But Tanner, I can't get into this because it's too warm out lately and I can't get into Christmas.
I can't.
Now that's a load of bull hockey, T-Bone, because you said you listen to Christmas music like in September.
Yeah.
Explain yourself, sir.
It's December. We're 5 days away. I expect it to be decent in September.
Well, it shouldn't matter. If you're going to listen to this when it's 90 degrees in September, you can listen to this when it's 70 in December.
It is the season for some cold freaking weather and some snow, and T-Bone ain't getting it.
You're going to regret that thing. You're going to regret that.
You guys have 3 hours to talk about this.
If I could sit on the deck and smoke a cigar, it's too warm outside. In December.
You're back here smoking cigars.
And you
Stop.
Seem like the kind of guy who would smoke a cigar in 10-degree weather on your deck if you had the opportunity
not
to.
Not that cold.
Yeah, there's T-Bone out on the back porch, cigar and a scotch.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
He seems like that kind of guy,
doesn't he, Dan? Yeah, he does. He was dancing earlier during one of the breaks. I don't know if you saw that.
No, I try to avoid that. I don't want to vomit before I go on the air.
So who do you guys have coming up on your show?
Oh, we got a heck of a show today, Dan.
Uh-huh.
We got Mike Kelly, not the Mizzou Mike Kelly,
okay.
Unfortunately, although Mike would be great, but we get the second best Mike Kelly, NHL Network.
Okay.
He's a stats guru, so we're going to get the chance to talk to him a little bit about this Blues. I'm curious to get his thoughts on Justin Faulk. We're going to spend a segment later on today because I thought about this Wednesday night. Is Justin Faulk the new Jay Bomeister for the Blues? And we're going to ask him about that. So
All right.
Got him. We got Mike McKenna, our weekly hit with Mike. And then we got our guy Benny Heist to talk a little football with us.
All right. You're going to be busy this weekend. We got Blues hockey. Alex will have the pregame at 6 tonight, Blues and Stars. And then the Jets just fired their head coach, and the Blues will take on the Jets on Sunday. And that's a 1 o'clock pregame. So, boys, have a great weekend. Tanner, as always, great job this week. Alex, good to see you back.
You as well,
and we'll see everybody on Monday.